Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm so excited about our guest today. I have Kira Hug with me, and she is a personality-driven conversion copywriter, co-founder of the Copywriter Club, and co-host of the Copywriter Club podcast. She helps small business owners define their brand and attract their ideal clients by following her signature brand living room framework. It is my pleasure to welcome Kira to our show today.
Thank you for having me, Belinda.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think this is a subject that more and more people are really wanting to know more about. So I'm really excited to dive into this. Why don't we just fill in a few of the gaps of your bio and give us a little bit more information about you, your journey, and your business today?
Sure. Okay. Well, I was always the creative kid growing up. And the creative one in my family. So naturally, I went to art school and pursued more of a creative design background. And then when I actually had to get a job and move to my dream city of New York, I actually moved into sales because turns out it's hard to find a job in the creative space and as an artist. So I developed a really strong sales background early on in my career, which wasn't terribly sexy at the time, but really has rewarded me later in my career. And as I was developing that sales skill set, I also had that entrepreneurial need to start my own thing. But it took, you know, jumping from a couple different corporate jobs and corporate gigs to finally moving into the startup space, which felt really entrepreneurial and was, for me to start to feel comfortable even thinking about the idea of starting my own business. And so after really moving into a marketing director role at a couple different startups, I had the confidence I needed and some of the clarity to branch out and start my own business, which happened to be copywriting. So I started my own copywriting business when a friend basically hit me on the head and said, "You're a copywriter. Why aren't you charging for this? Why aren't you building a business doing this?" I finally got it that was not only my gift, but also something people were willing to pay me for. And so once I had that moment, I created the plan of how to move from working in-house to starting my own business and eventually going full-time. And that was really back in 2016 where I made the jump and built my own copywriting business. And so now I write personality-driven copy for different launches. So I work primarily with brands who are the face of their business, and they're creating different products like courses and memberships and creating quite large launches that require a lot of copy that really connects and builds trust around their personality and their brand. And then, like you shared in the intro, along the way, I thought it was a good idea to start a second business, and because that makes sense. And so I started the Copywriter Club with a business partner, Rob Marsh. And we built this business from our podcast. It started with the podcast. That's why I love podcasts. And then turned into a community of copywriters. And then turned into building out multiple different offers for copywriters at multiple levels in an extension model. And into a sustainable business that we're running today. So there are two businesses today. One is really doing the copywriting. And mm-hmm. then the other is teaching and helping copywriters build their own business.
So give me an idea, because now I'm curious, from the time that you first went out to New York to 2016, when you really, you know, started developing these programs in your entrepreneurial sort of journey, what was the time frame in that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it was 10 years. So 10 years of really experimenting and really building the confidence to even think that I could run my own business.
You know what I love about that story, and I think that this is important for our listeners, is you started in this was a 10-year of learning experience. I love that you shared sales, that was a great place to be, because I truly believe that if people could learn the basic skill sets of sales, you can go on to do anything. Like, it's just such really good, solid, it's good experience to have. I think everybody should have some experience with sales at some point in their lives.
Oh, I agree completely. And it's not something I was pursuing necessarily, but mm-hmm. I'm glad I stumbled upon it. And I was selling car insurance. I mean, again, this was not my dream job. I was downtown Brooklyn selling car insurance, and but it did pay off. And even some of the best copywriters I know have direct sales experience and have their own stories about selling insurance or selling knives or selling who knows what, even door to door. Those are some of the best communicators and people who understand the art of persuasion.
Absolutely. And then I love it that it was a journey, and where you started isn't where you ended up, but you learned different things about yourself along the way and what you really were good at and what you really enjoyed. And I think that's important for people to understand. It's okay to end up somewhere different than where you start. And it's also okay to take your time with it.
Yeah. And I think looking back, I'm kind of like, wow, that took 10 years. And I think if I knew that from the beginning that it would take 10 years, I wouldn't have been patient to walk through all the different steps along the way. But when I was in it, it was just constantly like looking at where I am and then thinking about what's working, what's not working, and not feeling complacent or too comfortable in any of the positions I was in along the way, knowing that this was my time to figure it out. And mm-hmm. I remember even working at Estee Lauder in one of my earlier gigs in their corporate offices, which was so glamorous and cushy and beautiful. And I remember just feeling like that was not where I belonged, and I wasn't learning fast enough and doing enough in that corporate environment. That's when I knew I needed to move to a smaller startup or more of a nonprofit where you have less resources. So you need to do more, you need to lead more, manage more. And so those kind of intuitive hits were really important early on to know, okay, it's time to go leave, and this is what I need to do next in order to progress, even if I can't see the full picture of where I'll end up.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. So tell us about your business today and then how that's shaped your lifestyle.
Yes. So my business today, again, it consists of those two different businesses. And so most of my time is focused on building the Copywriter Club, which consists of not only developing trainings and content to help teach copywriters, not just copywriting, but how to build their business. But a lot of it has evolved into strategic coaching and providing more coaching services, which again, I wouldn't have seen that a couple of years ago, but that's where the need is in the copywriter space to actually help people implement. And so I spend a lot of my time not only doing that and getting in the weeds, but trying to step back, which is a challenge, and be more of a CEO and see the big picture of where we need to grow and how to build the team, and stepping into that new role that is foreign to me. I have not done that before. So it's forced me, especially in 2020, to really try to be more of a CEO in my own business and figure out the direction forward when there is no blueprint. There is no map for it. So a lot of my time is focused there. And then, like I mentioned, I have my own copywriting micro agency that I run, and I collaborate with other copywriters on my team. And we work on projects with clients that typically come to me because they feel like their brand or their voice isn't quite clear, and they're in a competitive space, and they feel like they need some help distinguishing their brand and their offers and their voice mm-hmm. from all the other competitors in the space.
I think with more and more people being online and in marketing their businesses online, having a really good that skill of copywriting or learning that skill or having someone that can assist you with that if you don't have those skills is extremely important.
Yeah, it's not going to go away, which mm-hmm. is either unfortunate or fortunate for you depending on who you are and if you enjoy that. But the amount of content and copy that we need to create for any online business just continues to grow as the platforms grow. And as you're right, as it gets more competitive, the way to combat that competitiveness is through increased communication. So you can build trust. And so you can create that likability, where people are like, oh, I like this person and I'm hearing from them on a regular basis. To do all of that well just requires more content, better content. And then to actually sell online requires copywriting that actually is conversion focused. So whether or not you work with a copywriter, definitely focusing on that skill set will never hurt you. It will only strengthen your ability to work with copywriters to create better output if you understand those basic skills.
Good. I think it's also important. I know I've worked with a few and some have been better than others, but the female ones I've used, I'll be super honest, have been better than the male ones I've used. And they come from a very aggressive, like they don't really want to listen to you or your audience. They're just going to do it the way they think it ought to be done. And it's like, I've even had some of my really good long-term clients call me up and say, you did not write this.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's no way you wrote this.
That's never a good sign.
That's not a good sign. And I'm like, you're right. And every time that's happened, it's been a male that doesn't really want to seem to listen. They just want to be very aggressive. And it took me a little while. I'm just sharing this because I think it's important to be confident enough of what I know and of my customer. Of course, I've had that customer for, 25 years. So I know what that looks like versus somebody that's just walking into that space. But it's taken me some time to sort of stick up for myself and say, no, this is our client. This is what they want. This is how we need to write it in a way that is good for that customer. And I think that's important that people know what that is, like at least know what that is or who your customer is or what you're trying to convey so you can help your copywriter really reach that point as best as possible.
Yeah, it really should be collaborative, even if you're working with a top copywriter who's been doing it for years. As the business owner, you still, in most cases, you still understand your audience better than anybody, and you're more intimate with it than anybody else. Unless, like, the exception is really copywriters that have worked with one industry and been in that industry for years. But sure, even then, it should be collaborative, and there should be checkpoints where you can connect to make sure that the voice does match and the messaging does match, and that the tone isn't aggressive if that's not your style. So, if you are looking to work with a copywriter, make sure that that fits, and you trust that copywriter too, and that there are checkpoints along the way so you're not receiving something at the end that doesn't match what you actually need and you can't even necessarily use it.
Exactly. Absolutely. So what are a couple of your, say, superpowers, your greatest skill sets that have really helped you in this journey of success?
Yes. So I love this question. One of them is collaboration, which, I feel like isn't as exciting as some other skill sets, but it's so important. Mm-hmm. And so it comes down to like, how well do you play with others in the sandbox? And that's something that has maybe, growing up with three siblings, that's helped. But the ability to collaborate has helped me grow my businesses faster than I could if I did not do that as well. So even, for instance, partnering with a business partner to build the Copywriter Club is basically like a marriage in many ways. And so it's quite a commitment and quite a collaboration. And it's not something that I would have even guessed that I wanted or would create a couple years ago, because I'm very anti-commitment. But I have reaped the rewards of having a partner, because I wouldn't have the business growth that I've had without a partnership. So I am a huge fan of collaboration, even if it's not to the extent of creating a formal agreement like I have with a partner. There's always opportunities to create joint ventures and create collaboration in multiple ways that are less committal. But that's been huge for my growth. And then the other skill set is creativity. Again, I mentioned the art background and going to art school and being the creative kid and kind of just owning that identity growing up, because that's the identity that was available in my family. So I claimed it. And that ability to think creatively has helped me demand that I always feel unique and different and can create something that is different in a crowded space. And so that skill set's allowed me to think about my brand in an intentional way so that I know that the brand I'm building with copywriting stands out among the thousands of other copywriters out there. And also has helped me just problem solve in a different way and provide that creativity that my clients are looking for when they're feeling stuck or they aren't quite seeing how they're different in a crowded space.
Very good. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments and then we'll sort of go to the opposite of that of a great challenge that you face. So outstanding accomplishment or something you're super proud of.
Yeah, that's, again, a great question. So when I look back, I think it's speaking to collaboration, it's really building a community. And so through the Copywriter Club, we've built a community of over 11,000 copywriters that are in our free community today. And they're from around the world. And we've built this incredible community that I could not have predicted or seen 4 years ago. And so I feel proud of that because I feel like building a community is one of those things. It's a recipe where I'm not quite clear on the ingredients involved in it. And even to this day, I'm kind of like, how did we do that? And how do we continue to do that? But I also try not to question it too much. But I know it's not easy. Building a community, especially today in such polarized times, is not easy. And so I'm proud of the community that we have and wanting to grow that and seeing the benefits of a community and what it can do, not just for your business, but just for us as a larger community and as focusing on the world and connecting in a bigger way. And then even going back to the podcast, which started the whole Copywriter Club business. And you know, because you have your own podcast, I feel proud of creating a podcast every week. We have 5,000 people that listen each week, which is amazing. And I don't it blows me away that many people care about copywriting and care about what we have to share and teach. And I just think that all of us have that ability to create our own media channel today in our own businesses and have almost like our own media department where you can create content that you care about and help and connect with people in such a big way. And I think that's the opportunity we have as we go into 2021. It's just really owning the media that we're creating and thinking about if it matches our goals and aspirations and building that community to support the media too.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that challenge. So is there a challenge that you faced and then how did you work through that?
So many challenges. So I mean, I'd say the first one is, being a workaholic, right? Like that's what a lot of us deal with as we're business owners, and figuring out that balance of ambition compared to just having a business that doesn't run you into the ground. And so that was definitely a struggle in 2018 when I was growing both of those businesses at the same time. And my foot was on the gas pedal with both of them. And I wish somebody would have told me to just pull back on one of them, but I didn't see that as an option. So I was focused on growing both. And it burnt me out in 2018 to the point where I just had to slow down and make changes rolling into 2019 and 2020 because it was not sustainable. And so I have to be really careful, as many of us do, with watching that workaholic in me and keeping a very close eye on her and making sure that I set my own strict boundaries. And it's forced me to implement a lot of good practices, business practices, so that I don't let these businesses run me into the ground. That was not why I went into this. And so that's been the biggest challenge out of many challenges that I've dealt with.
Good. It is important, that is for sure. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Oh, I love that. A happy place to me means taking time off on the weekends, which sounds obvious, but how many of us don't actually do that? It means not working evenings at a certain time, turning off. It means getting off social media as much as possible. reducing screen time and being really intentional about the screen time in social media and how it actually is impacting your business and not going doing anything more than what's helping your business grow. To me, it means focus on health and exercise. And even especially right now, I have young kids, so I don't get a lot of alone time or thinking time where I can just turn off. So for me, my happy place, while it's also having quality time with my family, it's in addition to that, it's getting alone time. So even this last month, I finally booked a night and a day where I just checked myself into a hotel nearby and had 24 hours away from home in a different part of the city. I'm in DC, so it was just in a different part of the city, and had quiet space to really think and do the deeper work and also just get stuff done without interruption. And mm-hmm. It was just such a nice break. And I think it's easy for us to forget that we can do that. I mean, I don't know why it's taken me since 2016 to even do that, to even like book time for me to get away and think about the business. But it has, because I think we make our own rules and we don't think about what else is possible in our happy place. So a lot of it's just around feeling creative, feeling playful personally, feeling creative as a professional. And when all that's in place, it does feel quite happy.
It's so funny because before all this happened, I spoke every weekend, except for holidays. I know every single weekend of my life. And I just had my routine and I loved it. I loved getting there on Friday and just checking in and having dinner in my room and watching a movie. And it would be my thing, you know, all by myself. And then usually speak on Saturday and then either come home or if I didn't get done till late on Saturday, sometimes I'd have to stay another night. And some people were like, oh, don't you hate that? And it's like, I actually grew to love that, just having that alone time and being able to think or being able to do something for me and then just working at it hard when I get home, you know what I mean? And I've kind of missed that since this whole pandemic happened. And so I've had to learn other ways to do that. But I think it's important for everyone to sort of carve that out and figure out where that space is.
Yeah, and I felt the same way. I used to get that from travel, at least, you know, a couple of times a quarter I would travel. Mm-hmm. And so it was baked into the business world that we all operate in. But it took me a while to realize, okay, that's not happening anytime soon in this pandemic, at least for my business. So how can I create that elsewhere? But you're right, just thinking about if that's gone now, how can I get that back in another way?
Yep, absolutely. So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to start their own business or be an entrepreneur or kind of let's break this down into two questions.
Okay.
So number one, I'd love for you to just give some advice to people that are looking to start their own business. You've just recently started two, so you could give some advice to that. But then I would also love you to give some advice to people that are looking to get a copywriter. And how would they go about doing that?
Okay, great. So for first advice to others who want to create their own business, I would start by saying it's never too early as you're building the basic foundation of your business and figuring out your specialty and what you do differently and your niche. And it's never too early to start creating your own opportunities and media and opportunities for people to come to you, for your ideal clients to come to you, for potential partners in the space to come to you. And what I mean by that is, you know, maybe it's creating your own digital summit. Maybe it's not focused this year or next year on in-person events, but it could also be like you've created and I've created your own podcast, which again, I know is a lot of work. It's not something you can just jump into without thinking through the process. But what type of event, virtual event or media can you create where you're the center of the room and the attention and people come to you because they want to be interviewed by you or they want to be featured? And so your real estate that you're creating is valuable and turns you into a marketing asset. And I think too often when we're new business owners, we wait because we think that we don't have enough experience yet to start the thing or to or we don't have the confidence yet to start that idea. And so for me, it's like, do that early, do it much earlier before you feel ready. And even if you have to pivot and you start a YouTube show and it only lasts for 6 months, but it gives you some notoriety and it helps you build your brand and allows you to connect with some people that you want to interview on the show, it's still worth it, even though you can continue to pivot. But every step of the way, start to think about how you can create an asset, a marketing asset, where you're the go-to source and people are going to you for answers and to be that expert. So that's probably the biggest one for new business owners, other than all the basics, right? Creating your niche, focusing on a specific audience so you're really clear and focused.
Okay. And in closing, any new and exciting things that you're working on that you'd love our listeners to know about? And also, how can they find you?
Yes. Okay. So I do have this fun new audio map. So again, I'm like a podcasting geek. And so we've created this audio map that you can access and download, and I'll share a link. But it's called Grow on the Go. And it's actually for business owners who want to grow. And it's an audio map experience from our podcast, basically curating our podcast where we've had 200 episodes all about business, and giving you a path so you can grow your business through those audio experiences. So it's something new that you can access. I will share the link. I don't have it on me right now, but I can share it for your show notes for anybody who wants, loves podcasts and likes to learn through that format. It might be helpful. And as far as where you can find me for my copywriting services, you can find me at kirahug.com. That's where I offer my copywriting services. And if you happen to be a copywriter or you know of a copywriter, you can find out more about that space at thecopywriterclub.com.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Kira. This has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for your upbeat interview. I know that our listeners are going to appreciate that so much, and really great gold nuggets of wisdom. So thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in today. And I encourage you to subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place so you don't miss a single one of our awesome interviews. And we all love reviews and rating the show. So if you feel so inclined to do so, we would appreciate it. Thanks again to everyone. And Kira, thank you again so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Belinda.
All right. Until next time, I Work From Your Happy Place. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.